All right, and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Snack Time with Mike and Ant. I'm one of your hosts, Ant Tessitore, a freelance writer of names and flavor text for Wizards of the Coast and a writer for Gathering Magic. And with me, as always, is the flavorful Mike Linneman.
I also like the snacks, and I also write for this wonderful little website called Gathering Magic, hosted by Cool Stuff Inc., who are great people. I always buy my board games through them because they're crazy cheap. Seriously, do it. It's cheap. I did flavor text in the past, worked as an art director. You know who I am. Use the Googles. This week, we're talking about dragons. Right. We cannot get a more flavorful thing than dragons. All day.
All day, every day.
All day. So, to start off, as we always do, we're going to pick up some flavor gems. And Ant, I know I'm listed here first, but I'm gonna punt and let you go first.
All right. So, my flavor gem today is, in fact, a dragon. And it is the Hunted Dragon from Ravnica. So, this dragon's flavor text, right, says, "The knights see a mighty quarry, but the dragon sees breakfast, lunch, and dinner." And first of all, flavor text, awesome, totally lines up with exactly what the mechanic of the card does. But it also hits on a very interesting trope where you have these knights kind of like hunting or fighting against dragons. We even had a knights versus dragons duel decks, yep. If I remember correctly, yep. Right? So it's a very popular trope. And I just really like the kind of like point of view of the dragon just not even caring about these knights. They're just snacks for his snack time.
Just delicious snacks. And Mark Zug, he's good at the art. He's decent at this. All right, I dig that all day. I went a different direction, and I looked through all the dragons, spent a lot of time going through, and I'm like, you know, I'm not going to pick a dragon. I'm going to pick something that is affected by dragons, and that is the Mirage card, one of my favorite sets. Beautiful set. Rashida Scalebane by our boy Randy Gayagas, not Galagos, Gayagas. And it's just a 3/4 legendary woman, and she blows the crap out of a dragon by getting tapped. Like, boom, 5-drop dragon dead. Cool, cool idea. The art is really clean. I love seeing any sort of diverse perspective. I mean, even the abdos are right when you're sitting down and you get that little bit of layer of fat. Doesn't matter how well you work out, he put that in there. Love it. Flavor's decent. I'm a fan of it. I like that piece all day. I wish I had some of Randy's old school artworks, but man, he's been around a while. He doesn't look that old, but he's been around for like 20 years, and he's been selling through those like hotcakes. He still has a few left, but not many.
Yeah, dude, I'm a huge fan of Mirage. That was the art of that set just blew me away. Blew me away as a kid.
It was just taste. Just taste everywhere.
All right, so we're going to dive in here, Mike. So
how do you want to start? You want to start? I don't want to start with Magic. Let's start from the beginning.
We're going to start from the very beginning. We're going to go way back, and we're going to look at the history of dragons, like where they showed up in literature and kind of where these ideas for make-believe fantasy creatures even come from.
So we argued about this before the cast, so people know, on what was the first depiction of when dragon came up,
right.
And I said Beowulf because I know, you know, the third part of Beowulf, you know, he and his boy fight the dragon. Beowulf gets smoked, hit him in the face, creature dies, everybody wins, America wins. But apparently that wasn't the first.
Nope. We got to go back even further to the Epic of Gilgamesh, which some argue is one of the first great works of literature. It's like, I mean, this is like way back, like stone tablet writing, not even writing, I guess it's carving, right? I mean, but it's one of the earliest known depictions of a story where the hero, their main objective is to hunt down and slay a dragon.
How old are we talking here?
Really, really old.
Like pre our boy JC, like before Jesus and his boys.
So it's sometime between 2800 and 2500 BC.
Holy crap. Damn! I thought it was like a Greek whatever story just before Rome. Like, whatever. Some dude is writing it. No, it's so old.
No, it's ancient. Ancient, ancient, old.
Crazy.
Okay. Like cuneiform. Cuneiform old. It's crazy.
It's not even letters.
But anyway.
I saw steals of those in the British Museum. It just looks like Up, down, up, down, left, right, BA, select, start. Like, that's straight up their language.
Like Dance Dance Revolution story.
It totally was. It's like, hey, man, I gotta write this Konami code to find the water, you know? Straight up.
Right. So, and another great one is so Saint George and the Dragon, right? So this is an old Catholic myth, I believe. And Saint George is like, I believe he's like the patron saint of like England, I think, right? He's a big deal in England, I think.
Yeah, he's kind of a big deal. I grew up Catholic, and it's not a myth, and it's real. Duh, first thing. Second thing, this is like one of the biggest tropes that there is, you know, the noble knight killing the dragon, and it's this allegory for Saint Michael the Archangel
Right.
killing and attacking the devil. So it brings this illusion of this mystical knight on this quest to defeat the evil thing, the holy good versus holy evil. And my God, this thing's a trope since ever. Which there's a cool magic example. We'll mention it in a minute here. I'll bring it
But
up.
more importantly, this epic of Saint George and the Dragon is also one of the first recorded instances of a damsel in distress,
Oh,
which
it's not good.
totally, you know, from that point forward was like a staple of fantasy literature that's now like it's more common now that we're trying to move away from that idea.
Yep.
But it was believed that the reason why all the dragons are extinct is because other knights were inspired by the actions of Saint George, and they all wanted to rescue damsels of their own, so they killed all the dragons.
Well, that just makes sense.
Right? I mean, that's just, it's science.
It just makes sense. That's why all the video games use it so lazily. It just makes sense. Okay, well, me being the art guy, I mean, I understand a lot of these tropes. Thank God I was born Catholic, so I learned all of these stories, which I have no idea if we ever have kids, how the hell they're gonna learn all of
Vital
this deep
information about life.
aloof. Well, yeah, I mean, symbolism. I mean, it's an incredible amount of how often it, you know, permeates our culture. I mean, basically watch Family Feud and every other thing is Jesus Church or something of that sort. But I came to this, you know, growing up in Germany that, I really like cartography over there, and if you've seen any work by Mike Chalet, the cartographer for Wizards that makes all of the Dungeons & Dragons maps because he's goddamn amazing, he doesn't generally put these in a lot of his maps, but this term, the here be dragons, this idea of a Latin phrase saying here are dragons, hic sunt draconis, which would basically just say at the edge of a map, this is a dangerous territory. You know, you might sink your boat here. There might be a tempest. There might be tornadoes. And instead of actually saying there is an uncertain, I don't know, weather formation, and it deals with this local unfriendly people, and there's pirates. No, they just said now there's dragons
Right.
there.
See, that to me is the best part because that says that back in the day, like if you went up to someone and you showed them a map and you said, "Don't go here, it's dangerous, you will die, there are pirates, there are whirlpools and crazy uncharted waters," they'd be like,
Doesn't matter.
"Eh, it doesn't matter, I'm gonna go there anyway." But if you said, "Don't go here, there's a mythical creature that will destroy you," they were like, "Yeah, okay, I'm not gonna do
Okay, yeah, there's something
Makes
that breathes
sense.
fire there. I probably
Makes
shouldn't do
sense.
it. Entirely. And, you know, we love seeing that. I worked on Warhammer 40K, and we used some of these tropes of putting in, you know, a mythological monster that wasn't quite created yet or alluded to in one book but never shown. And we put it in shadow on like these star maps, you know, to have constellation sort of implications. So you'll find this in beyond fantasy. You'll find it in your steampunk literature too.
Right.
And some of the most be we'll put some beautiful pictures in here for some of the originals. But you know, it started there and then it got refined.
Yeah. And a common one that is seen a lot in like, you know, pirate fantasy stuff is instead of a dragon, they use a sea serpent, right?
So, I mean, if it's not a dragon, you get sea serpent. You can get, well, actually, I should probably ask you about this. I know you're a literature guy. What is this worm drake dragon situation? What's that all about?
In magic, you mean?
Well, in general, I mean, I understand, okay, in other books you read, you know, high fantasy wizardry, $2 book at Barnes & Noble, right next to the Funko 50% off, Planeswalker dolls. You know, I know how it do. You know, they're not all dragons. Not all of them have arms.
Right.
Some of them have, like, whip tails and shit, but they still call it a dragon.
Right.
But in Magic, it's different. I mean, there's this wide variety of crap, and we name it different things.
Right. Well, I mean, in the very beginning, right, Magic had three things. They had a worm, which was supposed to be it was flavored as like a limbless dragon, right? It's crawling on its belly.
We talking craw worm, our boy?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Right.
Yep.
So then you had drakes, which they had, you know, they didn't have four legs or four limbs. They just had wings and then back legs and a tail, right? Then you had the full on dragons with two front legs, two back legs, wings, breathes fire. Right.
Yep.
Now, pretty much the main reason, and the worms have kind of like moved away from this, like looking like a dragon thing. Now they kind of look more like slugs, and like they really have taken on their own kind of unique, you know, Sarlacc-esque look to them. But,
sure.
You know, whenever you're creating a Magic setting, it's really important that you have enough creatures that you can flesh out all the different sizes. Right. So you need those 2-3 flyers in blue and those, you know, 1-4 flyers. And
OK, so what you're trying to tell me is from the beginning, there was some plan to say, all right, we're going to give you blue dragons, but we're going to call them drakes, like in Legends, the Azure Drake, the 2-4 flyer for 4. Doesn't have arms, so he's not as beefy.
Right.
And there'd be, you know, worms in green, which couldn't fly, but they'd be gigantor.
Right. But the main reason why you want to differentiate between a dragon and a drake in the creature type, as well as its visual look, is for board complexity's sake, right?
Yep.
So let's say you play a spell that affects all dragons on the board.
Yep.
You want to be able to easily differentiate between what is a dragon and what is not.
Right.
And the easiest way to do that is through the art, right? Because the art is immediately evocative.
Right.
So you look at the art, you see 6 limbs, 2 of which are wings and 4 of which have claws. So you're like, okay, that's a dragon.
Yeah.
This one over here is missing 2 legs. So that one's not a dragon. And it's a lot easier for you to think about the board state if they're consistent like that. If they weren't, and sometimes dragons had crazy limbs in this setting and, you know, looked like drakes in this setting, but looked like, you know, worms in this setting, and it was all over the place, then it would be a lot harder for you to understand.
Right. And I know we've talked about that before, of how there's been a couple sets where a demon and a devil look really visually similar, and in a complicated board state, you're going to mess it up. And not so much that people will mess up. That's fine. You can't fix that. But what it creates is feel bads of, oh, I thought it was the wrong thing. Not, I didn't do the combat math because I'm stupid. It's literally, I did not pick up on that in the heat of the moment, because that's how Magic plays. You're immersed in it. You're immersed in the battle. And if you can't differentiate that at a moment's notice, it's, oh, I lost because I was stupid. Well, that wasn't a fun play experience.
Right.
And it is baffling to me that this started at the beginning. I mean, this Drake, Dragon difference and Worm started day one. And, you know, we can see St. George and the Dragon if you ever go to Italy. You'll see this dragon depicted, you know, with a pig nose or a drake or a dragon or a worm or a snake. I mean, it's 100 different options.
Right, right. You know, I mean, you can see that in any other literature, too. Like, you look at the dragon depicted for Beowulf, and that looks completely different.
Right.
Or you look at any of the dragons in, like, Chinese mythology. They don't even have wings. Like,
right. Or the Jabberwocky from, you know, Alice in Wonderland. I mean, it's a dragon, and you're like, well, it kind of looks like a dragon, but it's like, oh, it's not. It's like, well, I don't know, but it is. Okay, well, if there's these tropes to use, visually, I understand that, but aren't there baby dragons too? I mean, our boy Dragon Well getting in there, getting pumped,
right? Dragon Egg, all those, right? I mean, there are definitely tropes that they can utilize for sure. I mean, both visually and, you know, from based in like the literature or whatever. Like, you know, some of them are dragons who are hunted by knights, right? So hunted dragon is a perfect example of that.
Or they could be like the weird dragons, like, I don't know, the brood mother that makes more dragons. Though now apparently they reproduce asexually in storms in the sky.
Right.
Dragon
brood mothers are great. That's dragon mom. I mean, that's beautiful. She hatches her little babies and they come out ferociously hungry. Some of them eat each other. I mean, that's a trope in itself, right? I'm pretty sure that goes back even like D&D, like the red dragons, when they're hatched, they like eat their siblings and stuff. So,
I mean, it's like sharks. Got to get
right,
that.
Exactly. Survival of the fittest.
Okay. Well, if that's a thing too, if that's a thing, we get all these other parts of dragons. Like, it's not like we have dragon wing as an equipment, though I'm sure it could be soon. But what about our boy Smaug? Well, how is he showing up? I don't really see like jewelry dragon kicking in.
Well, I mean, we have covetous dragon, right? And then we have hoarding dragon. But see, the difference between it with Smaug though and most of the dragons in Magic is that Magic has this. So a lot of the dragons in popular fantasy literature are also to a degree intelligent, right? But Magic has this weird difference. It's kind of like a disparity or whatever, where their dragons are much more animalistic, predator based, where they just kind of roar in, burn your house down, and smash your face to bits. Like,
which isn't always true.
What do you mean?
There's some smart ones. Our boys, EDH, Elder Dragons.
But they're an exception. They're an exception to the otherwise common rule. Like, you go look at, just type dragon in the Gatherer, and look at just the majority of the red dragons in Magic.
Crazy dumb. And crazy dumb.
They're all Thundermaul Hellkite, just race in and burn you and bite you and smash you. That's really it. What's interesting is it's the gold dragons that always end up being the intelligent ones.
Ah, that's funny. Right? That it's almost an allusion to Dungeons and Dragons, where the good ones are the metallic dragons, and they tend to be more intelligent, though not always, I understand.
Right.
But it's not like they have spells. It's not like all these dragons have three or four abilities in their mechanics to, you know, steal a creature, act a treason, and all this other stuff. They're really just burn and burn better, or ice breath, I guess, would be the blue version or white version, I suppose.
Right.
I mean, which could be a cool thing.
Right. I mean, and it's even going back to it's going back to Shivan Dragon, though. I mean, Shivan Dragon was the original Magic Dragon, and what did it do? It just breathed fire on you until you were dead. Like, that was literally it, you know?
And soaked up a lot of trades for bad cards at the time.
Like Moxes and Lotuses.
But I mean, they had some of this. They had this, you know, in Cold Snap, they had Rhymescale Dragon. I played came back right around this time, right around that Future Sight Cold Snap situation. And that had really cool, because you could tap creatures, and I'm like, oh, this is like a smart white dragon, whereas in D&D, white ice dragons were the dumb ones. They were like the stupid ones.
They're the idiots.
they totally were utter Muppets.
Right.
That's funny. Okay, so I like that. I like seeing that there really aren't that many smart dragons, other than now.
Right, other than that. So now we've had the Elder Dragons in the past, right?
Yeah.
We had, well, now one of them is a Planeswalker, obviously, Nico Bolas. Then we had Ugin, right, who doesn't have any colors anymore, but he...
Well, he's nothing right now. We don't know. He might come out as a vegetable or as a piece of cheese. We don't really know.
Oh, yeah, who knows? All we know from his card in Fate Reforged is that he was at one point colorless.
So is he at, like, zero hit points right now? He's bandaged at zero hit points. He needs to be carried out of the dungeon straight up on the back.
Right on.
He totally does.
Oh my god.
Okay, so now we got a couple.
Being chastised by the paladin, like, I told you. I told you.
I freaking told. That's funny. I always played paladins whenever I played.
No, did you really?
I was always the paladin.
Oh, I was the rogue every time.
Well, it's because you're mono red, dude. I'm
all day, every day,
white,
man.
Green white paladin.
Freaking, I would want to stab you in the back the whole game.
Oh my god. The more and more I think about it, it totally makes sense of this, you know, Eagle Scout, paladin sort of things. You're just drawn to it. And when finding a magic thing of like, oh, it's not just this paladin lawful good things. It's like, well, there's kind of this spectrum of green white can be evil too. And you're like, what? That doesn't make sense. And then you explain how that can be done.
Right.
It's a strange evil, but it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, that's my favorite. That's one of my favorite parts about Magic, though, is that like D&D gets kind of like sandwiched into like, no, I'm lawful good, and that's the only lawful good, and you have to do what lawful good says you should do.
But yeah, that's
super. In Magic, it's like, you know, you have the white of, you know, the humans in Innistrad, and then you parallel that to the white of Elish Norn, and you're just like, what happened?
Which is funny because I know Mark Rosewater just said the other day, he's like, no, white isn't fascism. That's not what evil white is. And I know we had a big discussion on this on Twitter.
Right.
And people were like, wait, what? That's the easiest way to explain it to people, is to say, no, it's fascism. And then people are like, oh, yeah, that is evil.
Right.
But otherwise they struggle with that. But anyway, getting back, we were on a good run. Elder dragons, smart. Con, smart.
Right.
And then we have all the dumb dragons.
Right.
But that's not the only way dragons show up.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, they come, so they're referenced in other cards, first of all. Like,
yeah,
we don't just need the card to be a dragon to see a reference of a dragon. I mean, Scourge is riddled with cards that reference dragons or attributes of dragons. Let me ask you this, Mike. What are some examples that you can think of dragons showing up in art not on a dragon card?
Okay, so this is fun. I love being put on the spot. Okay, so the best example I could think of is an artwork that I should buy, and I'm too much of a wuss to do it, because I've been buying other art as of late. And that is a piece by Dave Palumbo, who's, you know, decently good at the game. You know, he makes fantastic art. I have a piece of his in my house. And it's a card called Shield of the Righteous. And it's just an equipment from Alara Reborn. Just an equipment. It's a shield. But on the shield, it's straight up our boy, George and the Dragon. It's straight up painted on the shield.
Oh, my God, like, it is. So I just pulled it up. It totally is.
It's like not even like, oh, it's a magic dragon. It's like, no, this is George the Dragon.
Yeah, he has his lance and everything
in there. And no one even noticed. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, that equipment, that's a cool thing. Whatever, it's kind of neat. It's like, no, dude, this is like high art that he slipped into a magic card. If you look at this just at the artwork, you're like, oh, that's a really, really interesting religious sort of iconographic piece. But you put it on a magic card, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's an equipment. Okay, neat.
I never noticed that. I never noticed that.
It's literally a carbon copy of that. And this is where how you can get that nod, wink, artwork into the game without people noticing. Is you don't always put like, oh, I'm going to reference Noah's Ark or something. You
right.
know, that's kind of tough. You need like a boat or some sort of flood. But in other aspects, you can find ways to really put some interesting symbolism. And this is where this Catholicism, which, you know, has its issues, but one thing it does have really, really solidified is history and built upon symbols and icons that are immediately recognizable. So you and I look at this card and you're like, oh yeah, it's a cool magic card. I mean, it's not a very good card. But
if this was
a Sword of Feast and Famine, and in one hand it would be a Sword of Feast and Famine, in the other hand would be this shield, or it'd be like this armor set, and you're like, oh yeah, that's super good and limited, and you're like, no, this is actually a reference
right
to a middle-aged or a medieval warrior bringing it into the Second Crusade. Like, this is a huge deal, and it elevates the art entirely.
It would be sure. Like having an equipment. So you're saying, like, if there was an equipment that power level wise was the equivalent of one of the swords, but it depicted like Excalibur or something.
Yeah, or something of
like
that
sort. Like
some
known entity, some known weapon.
Sure. I mean, it wouldn't have to be that, you know, cheesy about it. But, I mean, it could literally be something like that. And people could understand that with relative ease.
Right.
Another example is beyond, you know, the, you know, dragon speaker shaman. Okay, yeah, he makes dragons come out easier. Yeah, fine, I get it. Would be like all of the weird depictions of dragons that aren't dragons, like Dragon Arch. Is it a dragon? No. Does it make a dragon? No. Like, why does this card exist? It's like, well, actually, during this time in Apocalypse, you know, there was this ability to come into play. But anyway, that these dragons sneak into the game because the dragons are really, really popular. People want them in every frickin' set. In Innistrad, and I know you've mentioned this before on the Twitters, what do the dragons look like?
From Innistrad, they've stained glass window wings.
Isn't that friggin' cool? Like, what? This is gothic horror.
I know, it's awesome.
Cathedrals.
It's awesome.
They're cathedrals.
That's gotta be one of the best examples of how a restriction breeds creativity
entirely.
That I can think of. Because, I mean, they're sitting there thinking, how do we shove dragons into gothic horror? And someone came up with, let's make them look like a living church.
Yep.
And like, they're like, done. Ship it. Like, yes.
Put it in. We're doing this right now. And they look fantastic. And, I mean, no one really said, well, why are there dragons there? It was just, oh, okay, Belfire Dragon. All right, that makes sense. Cool.
Right.
Moving on.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a thing. I thought someone would say, hey, this doesn't really make sense, yo. like Moonvale Dragon is like, well, those are clearly stained glass windows that are just painted green. Why is that in this set?
So going back quickly to Dragon Arch. So, like, going off what you said with, like, Shield of the Righteous, right? That's, you're saying, is a callback to our buddy George, right? Fighting his dragon. So Dragon Arch, is that referencing anything? Like, what arch? Is there any type of, like, an archway or?
Well, I mean, this is, you know, you can see these are the Watchers from, you know, Lord of the Rings that you're like, oh, those weren't dragons, though. It's like, yes, but it doesn't matter. for that perspective, if you've read those books, you immediately think, oh, this is the Tolkien gateway that Frodo and Sam walked by. Oh, I see what you did there. And it takes that extra level of, oh, he didn't intend that. And you're like, are you sure they didn't? Because if the artist didn't, and the art description didn't, simply by putting a depiction like that into the game will create that, whether you want to or not. You put a dragon in with four arms, people will say, ah, Western European dragon, I get you. I understand your wavelength, probably breathes fire, might be able to do magic, might be smart, blah, like right away. Whether you wanted to do it too or not, like it could be a something else, and it, you know, eats garbage, and you're like, no, that doesn't make sense. It's a dragon. That's not what they do.
Right, exactly.
So even by putting these images in there,
it's playing into what people already know and expect out of a dragon.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we can't escape at this point. And, you know, I like seeing this ability to say, okay, Malgifor, our boy, came in. Demon dragon. It's like, well, why is he?
Wait, who? Malfagor?
Malfagor?
Malgifor?
Malfagor. I feel like I'm eating peanut butter. I'm like a wiener dog right now.
All right, Travolta.
Jeez, just terrible. But they had like demon. Okay, that's cool. What can we make it a little better? What if we did a demon dragon? Like, I could see like Doug hanging out, eating chicken wings, and they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What if?
What if a demon and a dragon had a baby?
The hot sauce they had a wings baby. And then add in the sweet with the ranch. What happens? And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, dude, demon dragon 6'6, do this.
And then Ari comes in and he's like, all right, now what if it was also an angel? And they're like, get out of
no,
here.
No.
That's crazy.
Well, I think that's something too to really bring up is that this that dragons are its thing. I mean, they never said in any sort of map here at the top of the map here are the angels. Sometimes you saw depictions of Jesus at the top with our boy, and on the bottom, you know, you saw a image of two dragons, and you know, it was balanced. It's called the Psalter world map if you want to get historical, but. You saw that in this dichotomy of good evil all the time, but you very rarely see this dragon angel mix or this angel fusion. Really, only dragons have that. And magic really followed that lead to say, okay, if we're going to have a water elemental, it's going to be a water elemental. If it's a dragon, we have variety. We have freedom. Angels, white. Occasionally some other colors. But really, they're one color. They're one thing. Demons, one thing. People aren't going to mix them up with anything else because of this, you know, visual ability to reference to each other. And it seems like Magic could have really opened that up if they wanted to. But, you know, it seemed like Garfield got it right the first time. And they're like, oh, okay, this works. We're just going to go with it. Like that ability of that Vorthos view of not only is it this is a dragon, it's this type of dragon. Literally throwing a dart at it. The Lucas Graciano example would be really, really good of Duels of the Planeswalkers. There was a dragon built for that game that was actually a drake. And it, because obviously it did not have arms. So they went back and he changed it. And made it into a dragon. It's called Scourge of Vulcus, and it was an M14. And he made it a dragon, because without the arms, homie, it ain't no dragon.
It's not a dragon anymore.
And then you can't...
This isn't Skyrim. We can't...
Yeah, you can't have Skyrim just freaking wing it. Right. Especially not in red. I mean, that, it just doesn't make sense. You can't have a 4-4 dragon in red without arms like that. No. I'm curious.
And he won a Spectrum Award for
he
that.
He did win a Spectrum Award for that. And that
now, did he win because it had arms?
No, he won because
did...
arms got it there, baby. No, he won.
They were like, no, this isn't a drag. Oh wait, it has 1, 2, 3, 4.
Four arms.
You win.
Give it to him. Get him the award. I'd like to think Spectrum is a game show. And they're all seated, like, all the artists are in the audience. And they slowly, like, bring him on down. There's, like, a...
Lockwood is sitting there with his Draconomicon out, and he's, like, looking at the anatomy, like, nah, that doesn't cut it. Nope. You're missing two legs.
Students up front are trying to get autographs of, like, artists. Like, would you sign my baby plush dragon? Dude, I totally will, homie. I'd love that to be a thing.
Oh, my God.
So... We're gonna dive into this soon, aren't we? That we're gonna go in a little bit deeper, aren't we?
Oh, we're gonna get real deep.
So, what's the news? Well, what's coming up? Why does this matter that we're talking about dragons tonight?
So, as we all know, Dragons of Tarkir is right around the corner, and in our next episode, we're gonna be sitting down with
due next week.
That's it. I'm not even going to tell you. I'm just going to cut it off there and make them wait.
That'd be terrible.
Next week, we have special guests, and we will be talking about dragons and possibly Tarkir.
Yeah. Dun, dun. Tune in next week.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun.
Next week, we're going to sit down with Magic's head art director, Jeremy Jarvis, and the manager of the creative team, Colin Kawakami, and we're going to be talking Dragons of Tarkir.